1.
Well, hello there and welcome to our web event where we are going to be sharing this whole next hour about these shock and awe words from God that are given to His people to bring people into intimacy to Him. And Sean Bolts, it is so awesome to have you with us. Oh my goodness. And we've known each other for a number of years. And
I was on one of your first shows.
I know. And I remember when we first started, actually in media, you were one of the first interviews we did, even before we even put programs together, I think. And you know, we were talking about how media was so important in this day for the church to really take that realm of influence. So, and you are now in Hollywood and developing, you know, a culture for the people to come to know Jesus in a way that they can express themselves and with creativity, and you're forerunning all that. But You have been used by the Lord as a prophet for as long as I've known you, and it's been awesome. You know, people have been blessed by your ministry. But in the last few years, something has happened to you, and I was just wondering if you could share the testimony of what has happened, because you had a visitation from the Lord almost 3 years ago now, but that changed everything for you.
And it was a funny visitation because as I've told you personally, it was at a series of meetings that I went to where my wife was sick, so she didn't get to come. I was jet lagged from coming back from Korea, and I just wasn't very present the first meeting. So I went home, and I was complaining at the hotel room. That's my home on the road, you know, like you probably. I went and was complaining to God, just going, I was terrible. I wasn't present. I wasn't connected. God, why am I doing prophetic ministry right now? Like, everything else has so much life on it.
But you're feeling burned out.
These conferences are so tiring, and I don't want to prophesy over five more people. And it's all out of just, like, the gift of faith. It's by according to the gift. And I was just going, God, there's so many people who would love to do this, and this isn't my jam. This isn't what I want to do right now. And I'm so sorry for that, because you're giving me these opportunities. And all of a sudden I hear him, he's laughing at me, and he tells me, like, totally disregards my conversation, and tells me 12 things in my left ear, but it was internally audibly. And I never heard him this way before. It wasn't my voice in my head, it was his voice. And they were spectacular, amazing goodness things that he wants to do in my life.
Oh, I love it.
And I'm sitting there, like, complaining to him about how I'm not connected to this. And then even one of those promises had to do with the prophetic, thinking, you're re-envisioning me. And my heart was coming alive, but I was also afraid, because I felt unbelief. Like, I felt like these things are too unbelievable for me to hear myself and put faith in. So I'm so sorry, God, but I don't believe you, but I'm trying. I'm really, it's like Matthew or Mark 9. I'm trying to believe you. Heal my unbelief, you know.
Can I just stop there? I every time I hear this story, I can feel in my spirit many who are feeling the same way. And you might be watching right now, and you think, "Oh my goodness, he's talking my language." That's how I feel, and I just sense that, you know, there's this revival that is coming, that is going to refresh everyone. But as Sean was sharing, I just felt many of you are saying, "Yeah, that's me," but get ready, because God is going to be refreshing you and bringing you into this whole new realm. But I'll tell you, it is kind of a dangerous place to be when you're in that burned out place.
Oh, totally.
It's like, because our many things can pull you there.
Our only job is to keep our heart open.
That's it.
And I somehow didn't see my heart wasn't open in some areas. And I was okay with that. And that's really sad, because there's so much of God's love that came in that moment.
And God is so merciful.
Yes. Oh, He's so good.
He's so merciful that he just said, "Oh, son, I just love you so much. Yeah. I'm going to fix it for you."
And
he
was laughing. He wasn't even intimidated by my unbelief. He was I know you have unbelief, and I'm coming in the midst of that. I know your heart. And so
He knows your heart, too. He knows your heart.
And so I went to bed, and I got up the next morning, and he said he was going to, well, he told me that night, "I'm going to prove to you tomorrow morning in the meeting that what I'm telling you is true by speaking through you in a way that will cause awe in your heart." So I thought, okay, this will be interesting. God's going to do something tomorrow I've never seen Him do before.
It's going to cause awe in my heart.
That'll be, because I love when God comes supernaturally.
Oh, come on.
I mean, and when it's through you, you do feel that awe.
I know.
You feel sometimes when it's through other people too, but there's something about that personal connection.
Yeah, yeah.
So the next morning I go to a big grocery store that has a coffee joint.
Yeah.
And I go and get coffee, and all of a sudden I hear that voice again. I'm just waiting for my coffee, and I hear that voice, and it says, there's a woman named Diane who works in the bakery, and she's lost her daughter, and her daughter's name is this. She lost her daughter several years ago, and I've restored her heart by showing her her daughter in heaven, and she's going to write a book that heals Christians of grief because they're going to realize their family members aren't dead, that wow. they're alive in Christ, you wow. know, they're alive in heaven. They're part of where we'll be forever. Yeah. And there's some details about birthdays and I think address and stuff. And I was so amazed is this for real?
Like,
is this happening?
It just comes into your ear. It's just so amazing. It's so amazing.
So I'm so excited. I run over to the bakery with my coffee going, this is spectacular. This is so, and I was just in full faith. Like, this is for real. It's going to prove everything from last night. And there's a young man working in the bakery. It's a Sunday morning. And I go, is there a Diane who works here? And he says, no. And I went, no. I was like, see, I tried to believe in this, and I need
especially
a psychiatric evaluation. I'm a mess, you know.
And it came in such a strong way.
It must have been devastating
in a way.
I was going crazy or God was real. Those are my only two options at that point, which is kind of a good place to be in, you know. And so I went to the church, and I got there a little bit late in worship, and I was discouraged, and I couldn't pull anything
Aww.
Out. But I felt like that was okay, and I needed to be present with the story of what happened and just be vulnerable with them. Because I'd prophesied the building they were going to be in, and that's why I was there in the first place. So they were just excited, but I wanted to share out of vulnerability. Like, sometimes it's hard when
right.
you're going after things. But it was just I wasn't in the mood to share at all.
Yeah.
And so I get up front and I said, you guys, I'm so discouraged because I went to this grocery store and I'm working through my faith right now because I thought God had told me some things last night. I was going to confirm it through something today.
And you took a big risk.
And I went and asked if there's a woman named Diane because I got her name from God, I thought, and who worked in the bakery, and the kid said there wasn't one. And the pastor goes, no, there is a Diane. That's one of my closest friends.
Wow.
She actually went to help some people whose son died and they're grieving and she's helping them right now. This is totally
wow.
God. And I'm like, No.
Come on.
No, Diane in the
and
bakery.
And she worked in that
she
bakery.
She runs the bakery. I'm like, how does this kid not know that? He must have been a temporary. I'm like,
yeah.
No. So, yeah, I was overwhelmed because I just sat there and I went, that means everything else is true. You really do. And then in that moment, I saw this African-American girl and I said, I see your social justice degree in your school and you're not working there because a senator hurt you or some politician hurt you that you worked with. And is your name this? And she said, yeah. And I said, is your degree from this school? And I told her the school. She said, yes. And I'm like, God is saying you're going to seal the hearts of a generation with justice and not just work at sealing for a humanitarian organization. And she said, I work for Easter Seals. So she was getting deployed from that job into some
wow.
new that dealt with political justice and whatever. And I'm just like, this is happening. This is coming out of my mouth. I can't deny it because it's coming out of me.
You were actually releasing secrets, weren't you? Secrets from God that
totally.
She knew that you wouldn't have known.
She was that girl wasn't even supposed to be there, and no one knew she was coming. She was just an old member of the church that came to the meeting. So there's a lot of for me it was so great because there's a lot of information that is researchable online if you give yourself the time to it, which we'll talk about.
I love the
but
way
there's
that
so much that
it refreshes
isn't.
Faith, and even for unsaved people, that it would just cause them to come to know Jesus, right? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24, but if all prophesy, an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, the secrets of his
yes.
heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. And that's what, like, those kind of words like that cause the whole place to believe God is certainly among you. Because I've
yeah.
been in
Let
a
me
meeting
tell you two
where you're doing
stories.
It, and it's like, wow.
One of the places we went to, some of our friends have a church in Las Vegas, so they took
yeah.
us to a casino restaurant, and they had a friend who's a compensation director come with us. And so he's our manager, compensation manager, or a host. And so he comes with us, and I'm sitting down with one of my friends who's a pastor with him, talking to him. And he starts to share about how hard his marriage is at the time. So I got up to use the restroom, came back. On the way back, God said, this is his wife's name. These are his kids' names. I love his marriage more than he does, and I want to restore his marriage.
Wow.
And so I go, can I have a spiritual moment with you? And he says, what does that mean? And I said, I don't know. I just feel like God's talked to me about
goodness.
You. And he's like, he was super nervous. He's like, okay. And I said, did you go to college in Texas? And he goes, yeah. And I said, was it a Christian university? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, I said, that's what opened your heart to hear what I'm saying right now, because it's your wife's name. And I said the wife's name, and he's got tears in his eyes.
Wow.
God knows your wife's name. I said, who's this? He said, that's my son. Who's this? That's my other son. Who's this? That's my daughter. And he starts crying on the first son because it was from a previous relationship, and his wife and that son had never connected. I said, God's going to show you how much he loves your family. He's going to reconcile their relationship too. And I mean, these are like, this is the most precious thing in his life is the fact that him and his wife are having a hard time, and his wife doesn't like his first son, that they're having a hard time, and that he can't reconcile. Only God can do that.
Only God can do that.
And he's just on the job eating with some friends that aren't even connected to the spiritual world with him. And we all start crying because it was so precious. And he started to tell us his love story of how he fell in love. And it's like God refreshed it in him. Like he remembered it with full passion. Wow. And he goes, I want to fight for my marriage.
This is
from God. Well, the next time I'm back there 3 months later, they're all going to church. They all got saved. They're all like connected to God. Son moved into their house because there was such a restoration. He's an adult, but he moved into the house. There was such a restoration. Like everything had changed for him. And he goes, I just didn't know God could be this good.
Oh, I love it.
That's crazy.
As you're watching this, are you thinking, oh my goodness, I would like to move in those kind of words of knowledge? I would like to know God in that way and hear things with that much precision. And, you know, the thing is that this is what God is inviting us to. The reason why I brought Sean Boltz on this program is to encourage your faith, not only to know how great God is over you, but to know how great he can be through you, too. And it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that's... You know, we were talking about in the green room earlier how there's been other prophets that you and I know that have operated in this realm sovereignly.
Yeah.
But what you've done is once you started to see how God was moving, you started also to reach out by faith to access these things as well.
Yeah.
Even when it wasn't coming sovereignly to you like that, you were reaching out by faith.
Well, it's just so exciting. How could you not go after it once you've seen it?
And God honored it.
And he's honoring it. And it's not about information, so I make mistakes. The Old Testament, you had to have the information correct because it was all about God giving his rules and his decrees and his heart through these prophets and through these laws. But in the New Testament, everyone's justified by their own faith of God. They can hear God.
Yeah.
And so that means if we add to God's voice in someone's life, it's just an addition to what they can already have with God. And so there's times even with Agabus in the Bible in Acts where he goes up to Paul and says, this is what's going to happen to you. Don't go to Rome. And Paul looks at him and says, I have to go to Rome. That's my destiny. Like, but Agabus wasn't a false prophet. He just heard something and discerned something. But Paul had the ultimate responsibility of that revelation. And so I have all performance off of me in this. I can go up to somebody and I told you behind the scenes, I went up to a guy at Starbucks and said, hey, do you have a brother or cousin named Steven? And he goes, no. And I'm like, okay. And I got really awkward and nervous. So I start walking away. He goes, why did you say that? And I thought, I don't want to be honest with them, but I just decided to be honest. I said, I'm trying to hear from God. I'm learning how to hear. I'm a Christian and learning how to hear God's voice. I said, I've waited my whole life to talk to somebody who hears God's voice. Can you sit down and talk with me about that? And in 45 minutes got saved and is now one of my friends.
It says in the Bible that God works everything together for good.
Yeah, that is good.
You know, so even though that would have looked like, okay, you missed it a little bit, you know, but he even worked that together for good. I remember one time the Lord, you know, when he was teaching me how to hear his voice and just like a child, like by faith, you just step out to hear the voice of God. And he said, you know, sometimes he speaks in a real whisper. Like it's really soft. So you're learning how to hear.
Yeah.
And like a child learns how to walk. Sometimes you'll walk a little bit and then you fall and you get up. But you learn your balance over time by using it, right? So he gives me this scenario about this man who really wanted to hear God's voice. So he's saying, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. And so he hears God speak. Son, go and get rid of your grudge. So he said, okay, God, I not only want to hear, but I want to obey. So he goes out into his backyard and tears down his grudge.
Wow.
Gets rid of it because he said, get rid of your grudge. So he says, okay, God, I heard and I obeyed, you know. And God's in heaven laughing, calling all the angels and the great cloud of witnesses over. Look at this. Isn't he precious? He thought I said get rid of his grudge, but really I said get rid of your grudge. But it was close, but just missed it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And it's like he was just using that funny little story to show me that when we're stepping out in faith to hear him, that sometimes we can just get maybe just partly right, but partly not. But as we keep pushing in, we'll get our balance in it. We'll get more precise and more precise the more that we press in. And that's what I love about you and your childlike faith, is that you're just willing to press in. And even like when you make a mistake like that, you watch God turn it together for good.
Well, my best friend is Guatemalan, and I don't understand Spanish. And I watch him. He's translating me all over the world. And I watched the translation process, and I went, that's what I'm doing in the prophetic. And when you're learning how to translate, you get kind of checks and balances put in place for even being held accountable for, oh, when you said this, it actually was supposed to be this. You know, when you said this, it should have been this. And I realized that's what I'm doing with God, is I'm learning how to translate not only words, but heart culture. So it's even more about God's heart than it is about the words themselves. So throughout my journey, I've been learning how to translate his heart on the earth and translate his heart culture on the earth. And it isn't an exact science. It's not about the exact words, because he's not trying to control us with words. He's trying to invite us into who he is.
Wow.
And so for me, because of that, I think I don't have as much performance on getting details right as I do getting his heart known.
Wow.
It's very different. And so in that, though, I'm getting a lot of details.
Beautiful, yes.
But even sometimes I'll give a word and I'll have 5 or 6 words of knowledge over one person, and one thing isn't right, and they forget about it because of so much was right and only one thing wasn't right, that they just remember all that God did in their lives.
Oh,
they don't even remember
beautiful.
That one part. I mean, I had one lady who's a friend of mine. I said, I told you these 3 things, but this thing wasn't right. She goes, you said that? And I said, yeah, I thought this was I think it was an uncle's name and birthday. She goes, oh my gosh, I never even heard that part. She forgot it that much because she was so present in all of what God did say.
And I think sometimes it's like, you know, you can say something, but the person doesn't quite get it. Because I've had people come up later and say, oh my gosh, that word was actually for me, but I forgot about this and that. But now I remembered it afterwards. And
totally.
So they kind of connect with it afterwards. But Sean, you've been in places where you have started operating this, and then other people got the impartation from it, right?
It's happening all the time. That's why we're doing this webinar, so we can
impart
it. I mean, I think that I'm a bridge to believe that God wants to talk this way, and there is a place where you can practice and pull on it.
Come
so even
on.
One of the things that we did for years before this started as a normal, because people told me for years, this is a special gifting with sovereign people only operate it. And I just went, that can't be how God is. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's for everybody. Everybody gets to do this
stuff.
I love
that. I believe
that,
too.
And so we would sit down in the car, like as we're on a road trip, and I would say, okay, I'm going to think of somebody who's in my heart. We're going to go into intercession, and you tell me everything you're getting in your spirit about them. And they try and decide if it's a man or a woman. You know, my friend next to me, they'd say, are they in their 30s? Are they saved? I feel like they're saved. They're in their 30s. It's a woman. And we would get words of knowledge. And I mean, this is for 20 years. We practiced this. So I've always had a small measure of words of knowledge because we practice. And prayer, praying for people and trying to get it. And it did feel like a guessing game until you get in that moment, zone. So this time around, because I had that history of practicing, there was a visitation where I could hear God's voice in my ear. But like you had referred to earlier, there's times I would go to places that I felt like God had me going to in the last couple of years, and I wouldn't feel anything. And so before the meeting, I would pray, and I'd just say, God, show me who's here. Show me what's in your heart. And I would just, you know, write out on my iPad or type out. Just a few that had no revelation to him, just a few things like April 30th. I don't know why I wrote April 30th. And then I would write like Madison, and then I didn't know if that was going to be a street or a person's name. And then and it would be like 2 or 3 clusters of words together on a page. And then I'd get to the meeting, and those were like my catalyst experiences. And I'd start out with one. I'd say, is there someone named Madison whose birthday is April 30th? And then somebody would say, no, I live on Madison Street, and I moved there on April 30th.
Wow.
And then it would start to make sense. But there'd always be 2 or 3.
Of course, the more you work it, the more...
And the more you know how to look for it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
so it's like, I think I'm still at a baby stage where there is a skill set to it that you can develop as far as how do you translate God's heart, and how is he speaking to you? Like, for me, it's a lot of word association. So I see someone that I know really well, and I see that over someone else, I'll think of a band or a TV character or something, and I know that that has to do with them somehow.
Wow.
So I'm asking God for the details of what it is, and then that opens them up. It's almost like good comedy. You can say anything. You can say political, you know, humor. You can say anything else, and the heart's open because they're laughing. Words of knowledge open the heart so they could hear what God's saying to them.
Right.
So words of knowledge makes them present with God loves them, and then they can hear any message through it from that point on. So I've been able to say beautiful things to people that if I just prophesied, you know, God loves you, you're going to have a good year next year, it wouldn't make him as present with the word. It's just a nice, almost like a fortune cookie word. But if you say, your birthday is this, and you're going to have a great year next year, yeah. they're like, oh, my gosh. This is so good. So it's
because then they know that God knows them because he's revealed the secrets of their heart.
It plants their
faith.
They
fall on their face and worship him
absolutely.
In a greater way. Hey, let's show our audience one of the times when you were ministering. And do you want to set it up for us right now for a clip?
Yeah, so we're going to show a time. I was up at Redding, California, and there's a girl, Jill, who I happened to have met 10 years before, but I didn't remember that when I didn't know who I was calling. I was a nurse named Jill or something. You'll see in the clip. And she was going through a really hard time. And I called her out, and I started to talk about her mother in heaven. I saw her mother, a vision of her mother in heaven, by name. It was actually the name she went by, but it was her middle name. So everybody who knew her thought her mother's name was something else. Then we go into the fact, and you'll see it in the clip, and so I won't build it too much, that she was adopted. And none of her friends and family, even there at Reading, knew she was adopted. And I even named the city she was adopted from.
Wow.
And she was so undone by God's goodness because God was giving her hope for her immediate future.
Let's watch it right now.
Okay, this person, I don't know, I don't think, but is there a nurse whose birthday is September 30th? Does that make sense to anybody? A nurse? Hello. What's your name? What is it?
Jill.
Jill, okay. Have you been to a lot of other countries, or you're like a traveler person? Isn't that a nice way to say it? You're a traveler person. I'm incredibly educated. Can I get some water, too, while I'm prophesying? I left my water down there. Oh, Benny, you know, if you give a prophetic guy water, what happens? Here we go. Okay. Now I got to contend for a word for Benny, too. Great. I'm just kidding. Joe, you look familiar. Have we met before?
Yes.
I'm so sorry that I'm not connecting the dots.
Oh, here.
But I know I don't know what I'm seeing right now because it's new to me. I did write down one note, so let me look at it. September 30th, nurse, in a legacy over your life for the nations. I feel like this stage of life that you would have chosen God to do the glorious big things when you were 25, that he lets you run out of your current kind of young woman energy, and I'm not saying you're not young anymore, but your young woman energy and your zeal a long time ago, but now you're going to know that it's really him. You're going to know that it's really him. And I feel like I'm seeing around you, first of all, the Lord wants to assure you that your father's going to be okay and he's going to have an extension on his life. What's going on with your father?
He had pneumonia not too long ago and then some other stuff going on. Yeah.
So he's going to be okay. And he lost his wife, who I believe would be named Ruth.
2 years ago, almost.
2 years ago. And I have another date. I don't know if it's about that. It was. I just wrote it by itself. Is it February 20th?
Uh-huh.
Wow. So he lost Ruth. You lost your mom, which was really hard. And I feel like the Lord's saying, I can see, and I'm not like last night, but I can see in the spirit, I can see your mom because she was had a missionary heart and she had a foundation of kingdom. And she was in hard places like Japan. Is that correct? Japan? Yeah, so she was in hard places. I feel like the Lord's saying that, wow, there's a legacy in the places that your parents spent time. God's going to use you as a harvester in those places. He's going to give you a spirit of power to go reap what they sowed, what they plowed. Philippines, there's one of the places. You were adopted. And now I'm seeing your mom with Jesus, and Jesus is saying, your mom is saying that there's no way that you could have been any more family, even if you were blood. She got you in Chicago, but you came from her blood. You came from, in her spirit, you were her blood. And I'm telling you, you are so grafted into this family line, and there's such a legacy for you to live. There's going to be something that happens this year that's going to set you up for not just medical missions, but supernatural missions. And God is saying that he's preserved you, and there's a health issue you've been kind of battling with. And the Lord says he's going to heal you this year, even now. I feel like there's a healing now. And things that have been stealing all your momentum over and over, like health crises and issues, I feel like the Lord said he's putting a stop to this, that there's going to be such an accumulation of momentum that you won't have felt this way for over 10 years at least. And it's going to be so beautiful because today, today is a new day. Today is a new day. So let yourself get renewed. Let your mind get renewed. I'm telling you, your mother is like jumping up and down in heaven right now going, yes, it's time, it's time, it's time. Because she wanted it to happen in her lifetime, but she was a plower. She plowed. But you get a reap. You get a reap. And it's time to reap.
Thank you.
Wow, bless you. Wow, it's crazy. Cool.
Wow, wasn't that exciting? And you know what I love, Sean, is just the way the audience's reaction and her reaction, like, you know, you could see she was having an encounter with God through those words that were coming forth that was so deep that she would never be the same again. You could tell
I never am the same again because of that. Like all of us were, it just felt like that, almost like when you're at a sporting event or in a game show, or there's this heightened sense of emotional connection to each other where you're as a crowd experiencing God together. It's not about you getting a word, but I get as excited when I hear these kinds of people minister when it's someone next to me as I do about myself, because I'm like, God knows us. This is real.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I know. And it does, you know, like because we titled this, you know, the shock and awe words of God. It does. It just like shocks your natural nature to gaze upon the awesomeness of God. Think, Lord, you are so great. And I think every human being wants to believe that there's a God. Even people who call themselves atheists.
Yeah.
Deep down, they want to believe, right? But when you get in something like this, it's like, how can you not believe?
And you either believe or you don't believe. Yeah. Either I'm making it up or doing something to make it, manufacturing it, or you go, wow. And here's another one you'll love. And this is, I went to Australia. I had a list of words of knowledge in advance that I was writing down. I went to the meeting and I tried it out and no one was there. And I went, oh, I blew that. That didn't work. And it is a little discouraging, but at the same time, I was like, you know what? I'm here. God's still going to show up. He's still on the throne. It's not a big deal. And I just preached instead of doing the ministry time. And so a year later, I'm at International Church of Las Vegas and they were having their big conference of the year. And I got there late because I was sick and we drove up and my daughter was sick and I almost didn't go. And I talked to a new believer friend of mine the whole way in the car that I brought with me. And so I didn't have any time to prepare the prophetic end of things and pray into. I didn't even pray in the meeting. And I was really honest with the pastor and said, I've never been so unprepared for a meeting prophetically. And so we're going to see if God will do something. He said, God's told us you're supposed to come. And I'm in worship and God says, pull out that list. And I go, what list? I hear it inside. Like, pull out that list. What list? He goes, look for your notes from Australia. And I'm like, I keep all my notes. And I'm going, no. These people are not in this meeting. No, there's no way.
Really?
And so I pull out the list. I'm like, I'm going to try this. I was super nervous because, what are the odds that people from a year ago that I wrote some things about are here now? So I said, okay. And I tell them all the story. I said, a year ago, God gave me these words for people, but they weren't in the meeting. And it's you guys, I think. We're going to try this. If it's not, oh, well.
Yeah.
So I called the first one and I said, you know, is there a Shannon here who's a man? And I said his wife's name. And I said, did you just have a grandbaby? And is his name by chance Grayson? And they're like, yes.
Oh, my God.
Now, picture this. Before he was conceived, I saw this.
Oh, my God.
Before he was conceived, by name. And the parents didn't even pick out the name until 2 weeks before. That's crazy.
That
God
blows
knows us
your
that
mind.
Much. That's all. The whole room was like, I go, you guys, he wasn't conceived.
Oh.
I was having my moment. I'm going, this is, the. It just, you know that theologically that he knows us. He
it
knew
makes you
before
want to
you're,
fall down on your face and just worship totally. God even right now.
We all freaked
hearing
out.
It. I just
I'm like,
love
before
it.
You were in your mother's womb, I knew you. I'm like, he knows that little kid, Grayson. Like, I'm going to be watching that kid the rest of his life. Because, I mean, how good is God?
Oh, my goodness.
So I just think we're in this place where God, I mean, I'm constantly blown away, and it's scary. It's if I ever come across as confident, just so you know, I'm always a little bit afraid, just because I'm trying new things all the time.
Yeah.
And at one point, a year into it, I felt like I wasn't as challenged anymore in the faith times, and I just thought, this is getting really great. It's almost comfortable, and God said, I don't want it to be comfortable, so I'm going to do some things that trick you. I'm like, what does that mean? I don't know. And so I would get a word of knowledge that I was really comfortable with. Like, is there an Alice on April 30th? And someone would say, my mom's name is Alice, and she died on April 30th. And I'd go, what do I say now? Lord, what are you asking me to say? And then I went into a vision of Alice, who's in heaven, who's, you know, who's, the day she died was April 30th.
Wow.
And I start to see Jesus in Alice, and I start to see that her life wasn't completely, like Hebrews 11, the last verse says, that only with partnering with the future generations would she be made complete in heaven.
Wow.
To bring the full glory to Jesus he deserves. And so there's these moments where I feel like I no longer have an expectation. I don't have this thing of like, I know what I'm doing. I haven't had that the whole time. And I feel like I used to watch ministers and they felt very comfortable in their zone and their lane. And I don't have a lane. I'm just like, I don't know what's going
to
happen.
And you know what? I think a lot of it, Sean, is that God is using you to model it for us. Like, because when I saw you in the meeting I was at with you, what really gave me comfort and encouragement to just reach out beyond the comfort zone was to watch you outside of your comfort zone and just saying, you know, I'm just going to try this and see, you know, I'm just taking a step of faith. And you were almost walking out for us.
The gift of
verbally,
awkward.
What? Yeah, the gift of awkward. And but it sets you free inside. And it also made me say, come on, God, you can do it for him. You can do it for him. You can do
That's
it for
awesome.
Him. Come on.
I can feel you that. Know. I can feel people cheering for me. Like, go, Sean. Like, I'll get some. I call like two or three names and they're not there or something. And then we're all waiting, like, is God going to do anything?
Come on,
and then all
God,
of a sudden it pops in.
Yeah. And I think that's what the body is all about, too, is about loving each other into that place. But set up another clip. I mean, we know we've got a couple of them ready for our audience. So
this clip is a clip about a couple. It's a worship leader at this church I went to in Harrisburg, and he was just taking the afternoon session. And I called him and his wife out by name and started giving them a word. But then I literally saw a little boy running in heaven, and he was holding hands with Jesus. And I said, you guys just lost a little boy in your family. It was your cousins. And I named them by name, and they lost their son. But he's in heaven right now running. He couldn't run in the natural. His name was literally Runner. I mean, I've never heard of a kid named Runner. And he had just passed away. And God brought a healing to the whole family because of the word.
Wow. And that must have, for anyone in the room that knew them.
Yeah.
Like, it must have been like talk about shock and awe.
They were, the whole room was crying. As a matter of fact, the pastor, Charles Stock, who you know really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Charles said he was going to go home and take a nap. And he goes, I felt like I needed to watch the prophetic. He goes, that was the most uplifting and courage I'd ever been in the prophetic in my entire life. Just watching what was happening.
You know, like, you can't bring forth a healing to anyone's heart any more, like, that word would have healed so deep that any other type of healing ministry would just, you know, pale in comparison, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that goes deep. I mean, really, really deep. I mean, they would never forget it. They would know it. They would be able to pass that on to other family members.
And they did.
I mean, that is big.
They actually showed it at a gathering. They do a foundation gathering for the sports group. That I think they're all marathon runners, and there was 300 of them that weren't even saved, and they showed it, the video of that clip of that, to show, because these people all supported Runner. It was in the middle of Missouri, and I was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. They showed the video clip, and the whole room was in awe and crying.
That's big love. So let's watch it.
Again, so I'm just going to labor in this next one, because the worship leader that was up today, you told me his name is John, right? Oh, you're right here. So John, and I said, I saw him at the table. I was like, I see something over you guys. And I wrote down on my phone a little thing that I transferred over here. And I saw, I heard the song, I think we're alone now, doesn't it? So you must be Tiffany. Does that make sense? Okay, that's Tiffany. Part of my process, I know it's cheesy, but it works. It gets me there. I'm trying to figure out what this all means. I'll go with the easy stuff. Have you been married for around nine years? Is that correct? Oh, just eight. So you're in your ninth year. Yeah, that's. And do you guys have like three kids? Okay. I felt like God was showing me that ninth year of the charm, it's going to be a really good year for you. And not just for you, but your family. And I felt like it's so funny because it's hard because I'm kind of caught in a vision, but you'll like it. I asked Travis, I said, I kept seeing like Clay Aiken and Troy Aiken. I kept seeing that. And then he said, is that your last name or close to it, Aiken? And I don't know how to spell it, so I put A-K-E-N, but I know that's not it because I was trying to figure out how do you spell Clay Aiken, and I should have just looked it up. But you're nothing like Clay Aiken, praise God. You know, God wants to really touch a Michael and a Jen. Does that make sense? From Missouri, I think. And he said that they lost their little runner. Does that make sense? And I'm actually having a vision. When I saw her, I started to have this vision. It's kind of like, it's breaking but helping my heart at the same time, because it was so tragic that he had some sort of disease, degeneration, like some sort of, was it a muscle atrophy or something? Like some sort of, like, was it muscular dystrophy or something like that? And so, and he comes from an athletic family. So is this your brother or cousin, or? It's your cousin. And so this is part of the Aiken family. God wants to show you that because of the choice you've made, and it's good for them to watch this video no matter where they're at with God. I think they're at a good, decent place, but I just want them to watch this video if they can. Because of even how you guys have taken a stand now for where you're at with God, it's going to affect your whole family. And they lost their little runner, but he's running with Jesus in heaven, and he's with Dave's wife. So Dave's wife, is her name Beverly? So he's with Dave's wife, who's Beverly. They're hand in hand. I can see him in a vision with Jesus. It's his grandmother. So Dave's a widow. That's their father. It must be Mike's father. And so they're in heaven right now. And Dave needs to hear this too, because Bev, he lost the love of his life, but she's still been praying every step of the way in his life and his journey. She was a wonderful, wonderful woman that it broke his heart, and he hasn't been able to move on after she died. But he's going to hear this word, and God's going to bring him to the place, because she's praying in heaven with Jesus right now. Give him the rest of his destiny, God. The rest of his life, let him totally live again. And this season, when he hears this word, even, it's going to help activate him to know that the time of grieving is over, that it's time to live again. Even Beverly's in heaven saying, live again through Jesus. And I feel like this little scraper that's left in their family, this little boy that's left in their family who's so awesome, who's also like a little Chase, Dash. What a weird name. I love that name. Is that other brother's name literally Runner? Oh my gosh. I just saw a little runner in heaven because they're all athletic. I didn't know his name is Runner. Wow. Little Dash, was his younger brother, I believe. And this little guy is going to be, he has a champion calling on his life to be seen and inspired. And God wants to touch Michael and his wife to be able to raise him up with that sense of healthy entitlement that he can do anything. And I feel like the season of grieving is passing now. There's always a type of grief that comes with that, but the season of grieving is going to pass over the household as they hear that these ones are alive in Christ still. They're still alive. I can see them, you guys. I can see them right now alive in Jesus. And he's running. Runner's running. He couldn't run. I don't think his whole life he could run, could he? He was bound in a wheelchair. And he was such a happy kid. Like, I could see it's so touching how he just was a joy to everybody around him, but it was such a hardship that the whole family endured. And God just plucking out one part of your family from both sides, one part of your family, to show you that he's going to bring all of your family into their full purpose. And he loves them way more than they love themselves, or way more than you love them. He's going to bring them to their face full purpose. And Dave, I speak to you, when you see this video, your heart's going to come alive and you're going to start to dream again. You're going to go from black and white dreams to full color dreams and an ambition for life again. It's going to change in your life. And for the parents of this beautiful runner, your boy's in heaven. Your boy's in heaven. Wow. Bless you guys. I'm telling you, that's a holy moment, you guys. That's a holy moment. Wow. Whew. You know, to the Aikens, I'll just say one more thing, which is for your own family. I feel like God wants you to know that he wants to use you in some sort of reality video or reality television or some sort of video. And you did something that hinted of this. It like was a picture of it, but that was just to prepare you that this is part of your life in the future at some point for your family to be seen, because your family is going to model something that the world needs to see. It's almost like a reality like TLC show or something is going to present itself to you. And I told one other couple something like this. It was a different word, but something like this. And they're literally a holistic family in Nashville that don't even use technology. And so like I told them that, and they're like, that's weird. And then now they're on a TV show that's going to come out next
fall, I think. And so they have like six kids, and that people love them because they're kind of like Duck Dynasty. They're just crazy. But the Lord says that there's something on your family to be seen also, and reality television will somehow show your family off. And I think there's something on your kids that in the entertainment industry that God wants to start to – he's putting a seed in your heart now for what they're called to later on. So bless you guys.
Wow, that was awesome, Sean, that's what so God fun. Did.
Grayson was the cool one. I'll never forget that kid's name. I mean, yeah. A year before he was born.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is crazy.
Beautiful.
And I thought they were dead notes. I mean, I have had words that never came. There was never a full circle to them. So I just thought, oh, it's probably just I tried.
Wow. Let me ask you something, because, you know, we have heard, I mean, I've never been in a meeting where this has happened, but I've seen on media where they've shown it, where there's been people who are representing Jesus. I remember one, I'll just say it, that they said that he had an earpiece in his ear that was connected to the registration people up front who was giving him information or researching it out ahead of time. Can you address that? Because how do we know whether something's authentic or not?
I think the hard thing in our generation is we know it by relationship, because you can't know it unless you have a relationship to it and faith, and we practice it. And so I think like the proof is in the pudding, and the pudding is how are people's lives changed. I've watched a couple of people recently fail because they were cheating. They were getting information from internet and whatever, you know, white pages online or whatever. And the sad thing about that is that, you know, I don't know what causes them to get tired enough to where they would want to manufacture their gifting.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but there's something beautiful when we are in a place of belief that are, you know, our head's so open, our mind's so open, but we don't let our brains fall out. It's not that open.
Right.
Where we look at things and we go, God, you do want to do this. This is biblical precedence for this. And there's historic precedence for this. And you want to recreate the best of in this generation what you've done in the past and even in the Bible. So for me, I've really asked God for things that are unimaginably, like you cannot do it any other way but revelation. But there is some things, like he'll give me a lot of birthdays. And birthdays you can find out semi-easily. I mean, I've never done it that way, but you can find them out easily. And even some of my close friends, I mean, I have Facebook connections with them, so I could see their birthday. And all of a sudden I'm in a meeting, I'm like, is your birthday, you know, when I say close friends, not close friends, but people in our church or whatever, is your birthday this? And I might be able to find that information ahead of time. And so I qualify that. I am your Facebook friend, but I commit to you that I didn't look at your Facebook. I might have seen it at one point. It might have stuck in my head psychologically, but let's just go with it for the word. But for the most part, the stuff that we go after, even your closest friends, you can get words of knowledge about them. Because like my sister, she'll have something happen at work. Like, you need a new office at work. And then she does. And I don't know that. She's never told me that. Or there's people in your life that start to get so connected to God because you know things that they're so familiar. Like Bobby Connor's wife, I look at her and I go, does this name mean something? And it was a first and last name. She goes, that's my middle name and my maiden name.
Wow.
I've known her forever. I mean, I'm ordained into their ministry. I never knew that. And Bobby knew didn't know that. And so even your close friends, there's things to know about everybody, even your family members.
God knows that things God that can you show. Don't know.
So I think when people have the pressure to manufacture something, there's a whole other list of problems behind that.
You know what the problem is with counterfeiting a true move of God, because there's always the authentic and then there's the counterfeit. The wheat and the tares do grow up together,
and not just like satanic counterfeit. There's in the church,
in the church, right? It's just like, you know, any deception can be a counterfeit of the authentic, right? And so the sad thing about it is it actually attempts to destroy people's faith in the authentic. And that's what is so heartbreaking. And, you know, if there's any temptation that ever comes to you to fabricate something or, you know, to create something that looks like the authentic, but it's not, don't go there. Overcome that temptation, because it's not only about you. And you will get found out.
Yeah.
You will get found out. I always tell people, don't go there, because you will get found out.
In a short amount of time, because God loves his people too much.
Yeah.
And for me, I was in this for 20 years before this started, right? So for 20 years, I'm prophesying, traveling, doing stuff.
Right.
And at about 18 years in, this started. And I was okay with being a low-level prophet. I mean, honestly, I had high-level moments. But my general was just like a nice grace word full of love. And if I was going to manufacture, I would have started 10 years ago or 15 years ago when it could have brought me to a new level to bring, even because right. there's a performance in it that can bring you into the audience of more people. And I would have done that 15 years ago.
And also, we would never want to hurt the body.
No, it's all about love.
When you have a lying sign and wonder or a lying prophetic word or whatever, or the source of it has been manipulated, you hurt people's faith.
Yeah.
And we just can't let that happen. That's why I love the authentic. You know,
what
I told you,
when this started to emerge, two people I knew failed who I loved who were lying.
Oh.
And I was so sad about one of them. I found out the night I was supposed to go minister somewhere, and it was within 3 months of this starting. And I just went, God, I don't know. Like, he's faking it, and people are going to think I'm faking it when this gets exposed. And I don't know. I just feel really shaken in my faith. And he said, Sean, when the real emerges, it's such a bright light that all the other lights dim. They just fade. And don't worry about being authentic. Like, don't worry about controversy. Don't worry about what's not real. Worry about what is real.
Yeah, to be
authentic.
And
it gave me so much faith. And I just went, you know what? And you could tell with me. I mean, like, I'm fishing through trying to get over. I'm not confident ever. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times I'm like going, March 15th or like March 17th. I'm like, I'm close. You know? I'm right around the same ball game. You know, so it's really
fun. I got the month right.
Hey, that's progress right there.
It is.
You know? So I was with another couple. It was a billionaire couple with their friend who's a billionaire who invited me out with them, and they're the main builders and supporters of a certain church in the nation they're at. And at one point, the man, and he doesn't know about my prophetic gifting, and he said, you know, Jesus is just a great idea, though. He didn't really resurrect. Like, that's all, like, mystical theory, right? And I go, well, you have two PhDs. You're way smarter than I am. So I'm not going to argue with you because you'll probably win. But I said, I do know about your 16-year-old daughter named, and I named her, and what she's going through currently right now with purpose depression. And he just starts weeping.
Wow.
And he goes, Jesus is real. I've never had a moment with Jesus
where
he was real. He is real. And they both really come to the Lord for the first time.
Oh,
and I just think, like, those are the moments, like, I'm looking to have this experience with the whole world, not just in church context. Yeah. I'm looking to see the God who manifests the greatness of his love to the person who's homeless on the streets, because we do a lot with the poor. The girls coming out of human trafficking.
Right.
I mean, some of the times we prophesy over them, that's going to set the course for their life forever. There's no other time that they've ever heard goodness until that moment. So for me, one of the ways that you stay in a really healthy place in the whole prophetic is you prophesy, especially with words of knowledge, over people who can't, because Christians are always in faith. We're like, I think that might mean something. Well, someone who's not saved is never going to say, I think that might mean something. We're like, no, that's wrong. That's not true.
Right.
So prophesy over a lot of people who aren't saved. Mm-hmm. And love. And just be like, hey, does this date mean anything to you? Or does this phrase mean something to you? And they'll be like, yes or no, and you'll figure it out fast.
I love it. That's awesome. And that helps our viewers too. It gives us a place to start to believe God with, you know, that, you know, these little nuggets are really special. I wanted to say something about the authentic. When you know that you're operating in the authentic yourself, there's such confidence and peace, because you don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to prove yourself. God will do that.
Yeah.
I mean, even if everyone thinks you're not authentic, you know.
Yeah.
And there's something about knowing inside.
And I have such a heart
inside.
For people who are cynics, because I'm very cynical in my nature. I've had to overcome that for years. I'm very analytical. So for me, I'll watch certain things that happen. Even some of the programs you've had on, sometimes I'm listening to them going, I don't believe that in my heart yet. Lord, help me to believe that in my heart. So I'm in that one that my prayer is constantly, help me to overcome the places of unbelief in me.
Right.
And we don't have to believe in everything, but there's certain things that prove his love, like prophecy. We're supposed to eagerly run after prophecy.
Right.
And believe in it. And we're supposed to not despise it.
Right.
You know? And so I've constantly been in my own heart going, God, help me to appeal to cynical people. Even ones who would think I'm researching or that I'm a fraud or whatever. Help me to get those people. I love those people. I want them so activated that they hear you this way. Because if they don't believe in me, they don't believe in it for them.
Right.
That's ultimately what they're saying.
Right.
I don't believe in this right now on the earth.
Right.
Which is a terrible statement. Because this is one of God's most beautiful love natures is revelation.
Right.
And so that's part of my what I want to see happen with people.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. We've got one more clip that we want to show. Do you want to set that one up?
Yeah, so the last clip we're going to show is there's a couple who came to Bethel Conference for the first time, and they'd never been to this kind of environment before, and I call them out by first names each, and then I gave their last name. I didn't know what it was, but it ended up being their last name. And I start prophesying over their daughter, who's only like a 2-year-old or something, And then I get hit because I only had a baby at that point at 5 weeks. She was a brand new baby. And I get hit because I saw their little girl who they'd lost, mm-hmm. who was named Morgan. And I began to prophesy over Morgan and their family and their destiny. And you'll see in the clip, like, it just, everyone's heart was both broken and healed in the same moment as God just revealed his great love over this family.
Okay, let's have a look at that right now.
There's a Jeff and Tiffany. Does that make sense to anybody? Jeff and Tiffany? You guys, Jeff and Tiffany? I saw Howard the Duck. It's just part of my process. What is Howard?
That's our last name.
Oh, your last name. So this is like, okay. I thought there was a Howard person. I feel like you guys are on a health journey. There's something that this year you're initiating something that I feel like the Lord's put in your heart to be a healthier version of you. And this is important for your life because just where he's going to bring you, there's someone named Audrey. Is that right? Audrey, the little artist. Does that make sense?
It's my daughter.
It's your daughter. And is there a Salesville Road?
It's the road I live on.
Is it 1608?
It's my address.
And then March 24th, what is that?
Our anniversary.
You know, God's obviously put your family together in such a beautiful way, and there's a big purpose on your life and on Audrey's life, and God wants to give you the full health to sustain that. And so that's one of the reasons why he's put in your heart a health journey. And he's put on you guys such a powerful love for people that he wants to turn into both a ministry and a business. I feel like there's a business that you already have that he wants to change. I don't know if it's, it feels like it's on you though. It feels like, do you have a business?
I do have a business.
Yeah, so like clothes or something, or clothing store or something? Like, okay, so she's saying yes. And there's more. There's multiple streams of income that God wants to bring to you to finance adventures you'll go on. And I feel like the Lord said it's not just for other people, but it's for your family. And I felt like you experienced a great loss. And I'm oh God. Sorry, I have a 8 week old, so it's really hard because you had a little daughter who's in heaven whose name is Morgan. She's your little angel. And she was such a joy to you guys. She was such a joy, and it was a tragedy. It was never God's intention for her to die, just so you know. He was with you the whole way. It was never his intention. But now that she's there, she's literally praying every part of her destiny would just be a double portion for Audrey and for your life. She's with Jesus, just praying with Jesus. She's a fully developed, you know, what we're supposed to be. God's original intention is over. And he wants to comfort your heart now. I feel like it's time to move on completely. And you'll know this because supernaturally he's going to give you a spirit of healing that will heal the grief completely. And even tonight as I'm seeing her, I see the love that you have. And that love is going to help you because you're going to have a spirit of adoption for a nation. And God's going to use you. It's not your primary calling, but in a missionary way to help children at risk, and you're going to help change the condition of children. And this would have been her calling, is to work with children at risk and children who are underprivileged. She would have had a justice, mercy calling in her life, and there's some sort of foundation that God's going to allow you to set up for her, or for, in honor of her, because she had this, it's the same justice heart you guys have, but it would have been amplified. And I feel like the Lord just showing me that she is alive. It's not that her memory will live on. She will live on, and her calling will be made complete through you guys. And you're going to live for even more. It's like you get more. You get bonus prize. You get a double calling. And I know that's not necessarily consolation, but it's such a short time before you know, it's just a lifetime before you'll be with her forever. And I feel like God is showing me that, wow, he's just touching your hearts right now. And he's going to do something this week, not only this word, but he's going to do something else to bring the right healthy closure. You've done a great job of closure, but a right healthy closure, the final closure, and you're going to feel like a new wind in life that's going to be like an amplification to push you forward with so much momentum. And so bless you guys. I just see Jesus smiling with her. I'm telling you, she's like watching you like we watch reality television. It's awesome. Bless you guys.
Thank you. Sean, you've written Translating God. It is a fantastic book.
And thank you.
I just call it a love message. Yeah. I mean, it's just great. But do you want to share a little bit about that book and what our viewers can find within that book?
Yeah, I think my philosophy of the prophetic ministry is that we're supposed to see what John saw, the bride at the end of the race. Fully ready for Jesus. And we're supposed to treat people that way. And before John saw that, he was fighting with the Gnostics and trying to help with all the politics in the current church. And after that book, it's like he sees what Jesus had, the joy set before him, the Hebrews 12:2, the joy set before Jesus. And he's like, you're worthy. You're so beautiful. This is amazing. He almost couldn't write it. It was so awesome. And to me, the way we're supposed to look at the earth, whether it's a person, whether it's like we work in Congo, you work against anti-human trafficking, when we work in those areas, you have to be able to see what was God's redemptive plan and his original intention, and what does this look like in its beauty if it was fully redeemed? Because that's what Jesus came to do, is he loved the whole world to put it right back in right order again. So the book is all about how to see God's original design. It's about how to see God's love and how to really, really, really get the culture of his heart, where he'll share his mind with you. He'll share his heart with you in deep ways. And we put together like a workbook and a DVD series, a course that people can get a hold of too for group study. But it really helps people to go through and grow. Like my part of me, and I know you're like this too, I want people to have assessments. I want people to be able to be accountable for their own words. So one of the things that we tell our prophetic teams to do is, you record your own words and listen to them, and then also track them and find out from people, get their email. And if you gave the date, May, something's going to huge is going to happen. A breakthrough is going to happen. Ask them in June if it happened, and then grow from that, because you only grow when you get feedback.
Right.
Every corporation gets feedback and assessments, evaluations, every other gifting, teaching. We can see if the person's progressing or not, but prophecy is the least tracked thing and has some of the least credibility because of it. So the book goes into how to build your personal accountability and track record so that you can grow in real faith, because a lot of times we'll get delusional faith thinking we're right all the time because we never checked in. And so the book's really helpful for managing, like, the spirit of the prophet is subject to a prophet, which means we're in charge of governing our gifting around our lives. And actually, we're in charge of our own growth. No one's going to want us to our own growth as much as we will, except for God. And so the book helps growth. It helps you to understand, like, your empowerment as a prophetic vessel. It helps to see the goal of what prophecy is really for. It's really a fun book.
I love it. And so we want you to go to translatinggod.com. to find out how you can get that book, and I highly recommend it. And part of it is because I believe there's impartation in it, because you wrote that book after you start having these encounters. And I believe that God has given it to you to steward this particular level of these words of knowledge so it can be impartable.
Yeah.
And the love of God and the message of his love, the original intent, the prophetic elements in that book will help people go to their next level. So we highly recommend getting that book, and just go on translatinggod.com and find out more information about that. And also, just your ministry with Expressions 58.
Yeah.
We just so appreciate what you're doing in Hollywood, because it is not an easy field to work in.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the most unreached field by all the church.
Yeah, but I love the way that you went in with so much humility. You weren't in there, ta-da, here we are trying to prove something. Yeah. You went in because of the love of God. And you've paid the price. I mean, it's not easy. You have to, a lot of things to push through, even in the natural, just getting buildings to have meetings in is very expensive. Even to just live there is very expensive. Just on,
we've moved like 18 times.
Just on a monetary level. Yeah. I mean, it's challenging. And then spiritually, it's very challenging. But you're up for the challenge for love's sake. And I want to thank you so much.
Thank you. And you helped me.
For Expressions 58, how can they get in touch with more about what you're doing? Because there's film, you know, like Christian film schools. I mean, we just sent one of our workers from here went and had a wonderful
Iris
time.
Iris Media Boot Camp, which is part of our family.
And you're connecting with different ministries in the area and outreaches and everything. So how can they get more connected
with
you?
They can get connected. Expression58.org is a great way. And then we also have, we live stream our meetings. Sunday nights, every Sunday night, we have a service for entertainers by entertainers. So there's interviews, there's short films, there's performances, and there's also usually a message from somebody who will speak in the entertainment industry. And so it's just, there's literally hardly any weekly things that happen in Hollywood for Christians. So we wanted to provide something that would be a maturing vehicle for Christians. And then also we're We have all kinds of, if you're local, we have all kinds of stuff for you to get involved with, depending on the season. There's small groups. And we're really connected to all the other entertainment groups and churches.
I love it.
We love Hollywood Prayer Network and Hollywood
you're
Connect and all these
connected.
Groups.
Yeah.
Well, it's an army. Like, we came in to be reinforcements to what people were already doing.
It's just beautiful.
And now there's new reinforcements even for us. And so in Hollywood, there's so few churches that when a new one comes up, we're in full celebration. There's no competition.
Oh, no,
we're like, yes, go,
yeah,
go.
So they
can get involved. Though Expression 58 is a great, we're a Bethel church plant. And so we have a lot of the same core values as Bethel Church in Redding, California. And we do a lot of regional stuff. So they can come and be a part of regional stuff or come be part of local church stuff.
Awesome. Well, we sure appreciate what you're doing. We're going to move into some words of knowledge in just a moment or so, and we'll just see what God has for our people tonight. But I want to also share with you about something that's coming up soon, is that I'm hosting live in November 2 full days. It'll be morning, afternoon, and night, so it's quite the boot camp for 2 days. A brand new course. It's a certificate course called Women of Influence. So we'd love to have you just go online, go on xpministries.com to the events page, and you'll find out more information on that and how to get registered for it. And then also in the new year, I've got a 1 week, kind of like an internship, maybe call it a week of mentoring. It's also a boot camp. It's an intensive coming up in January for 1 whole week, where you can come and spend time with me for the week, as well as Robert Hodgkin on my team. And we're just going to be mentoring and just immersing you in teaching and practical applications and just being part of our ministry culture here for an entire week. It'll be fun. And then one more coming up in May for 1 whole month. So it's a 1 month internship. And the end of that month, we're going to just launch you right into Women on the Front Lines World Convention. So you're going to be behind the scenes, knowing what it's like to plant, to nurture, to pray into, and to birth an event for God, discerning His purposes and walking with Him in it to see what you can do to birth those purposes in God. So that's going to be a Women on the Front Lines internship. So that one's for women. But pray about joining us for that month. It's going to be amazing. People are coming in from all over the world for it. It is a restricted number. We're just taking in a small number of people for that one. So you'll want to apply for that right away. You'll go through an application process for it. So you can find out more about that online. Just go into the events section, and there's more information on that for you. But we'd love to get you more involved. And also, we have XP Shiloh, which is our home church. We have a church right here in Maricopa, locally, but we broadcast it worldwide by live media. So it's broadcast live, plus then we have it on demand after that. We have people from all over the world watching that. We'd love to have you part of our congregation. If you want to be an official part of the congregation, but you live in a different area, you can join our web church. And you get also assigned to you your own personal pastor who is connected to a smaller group of people. There's all kinds of things available to you to help you grow in your faith and in your calling. And your pastor will pray for you on a regular basis and be available for you. So we'd love to have you involved in that. And also, we want to right now invite you to sow into this broadcast. It costs us money to put this out with the bandwidth and with the recording and all the different expenses with it. And we would ask for your help in that you would be faithful to sowing into God's media army. That as we continue to get media out to you to feed your spirit and to support your walk in the Lord, your faith, that you would be faithful to sow back into it so that we can continue to bring these broadcasts to you. So would you just go online right now? In fact, there's a tab right under your screen where you can give your gift to God. And I know that as you sow your gift, that you will be blessed back in return. Whenever you sow into the kingdom, you will be blessed back. So God bless you, and thank you so much for your continued giving, and even pray about becoming a partner with us so that we can continue to produce media to reach the world around us. So Let's minister to the people now with words of knowledge. And are you getting anything yet?
I am, and it's a challenge because I'm used to the point of contact where I get asked questions like, is there a Laura who's a singer, you know, which is one of my words of knowledge.
But they can come in on the chat room for
it. They can. That'll be good. Yeah. So I'm gonna try this out. Patricia's like challenging me because usually I'm live in an audience. But I'm seeing a Laura or Lori. I don't get hung up with the name. It's Laura Lori. And there's a you have a singing gift that you didn't fully develop. And it's a worship leading gift. And when you see people, especially maybe Rita Springer, Heather Clark type people, I think those are two influencers of yours. When you've seen them, you saw yourself in it, but now you've given up because all the worship leaders who start out are like in their 20s. And so you may be in 47, 48, and you feel like you have no hope for that. And so, but there's part of your heart that is sad because you don't see that as an opportunity. But God is saying he's going to give you an opportunity. And so start working on your skill because he's going to give you an opportunity. And there's a maturing that's happened through your life that he wanted a mature lover's voice to lead people, and it's never too late to start. So he's saying, I want to release you, and he's giving you people as examples of what he does want you to do, but there's fear in you that you've missed your past your prime, you've missed your moment. But I'm going to speak to you that you haven't missed your moment, and your son is a J name, I think it's a Joshua or Joel, I can't see which one. Joshua, I think it's Joshua, and he's maybe 18 to 20, somewhere in there, and he's in college right now, and he's about to have a move of God in his life also. So this is like really specific. He's about to have a move of God in his life because he's picked up the guitar, and he's really interested in music too, and so it's going to be a bonding experience for you and your son to do this. So that's pretty crazy.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm going to step out in faith and bring one, and then you can bring another one, and we'll just see. Because I've got something, I mean, I don't quite know what to do with it, but I saw forks and knives. Number of forks and a number of knives. So I was asking the Lord, well, what do you do with that one? And I felt him say that there's someone watching this program that you are wanting to set up a restaurant, or you have a restaurant, and it's something, even maybe the name has something to do with forks and knives, and I see the nation Australia in front of me, and I believe the Lord's saying that he is going to bless that endeavor. Those are the words that are coming to me, that he'll bless the endeavor. So trust that ministers to someone out there.
That's so cool. Forks and knives. I was thinking of Australia. It was funny because I saw an older couple in Australia who maybe feel like they've been involved with several churches, moves of God, but they know they're still ready for something else, but they're not sure how to connect to it. And your names are Sarah and Jim. James or Jim. Sarah and Jim in Australia. You've been connected to a bunch of different things. And you've maybe the last thing was in 2007 that you helped pioneer, and you've been in this holding pattern, almost like an airplane in a holding pattern, and your runway's coming, and you'll know your runway's coming because you just celebrated in September. You've celebrated, it was either late August, maybe it was August 27th or September 27th, you'll have celebrated your anniversary. And this is a signpost that God loves your marriage. He's still going to deploy you for everything he promised in all these different seasons. It's all going to come together finally and culminate, and you're not too old. Stop that thinking. Stop that. It only took Jesus 4 years to do everything that he was called to, 3.5 years, and you have a lot more years than that left. So stop the old thinking, and this is going to be greatly encouraging because you're going to be like, that's our names. We're in Australia. That's us. Awesome. So that's cool.
And I've got a word for a man named Harold. And I believe that you're in the Netherlands. That's what I'm sensing in the Netherlands. So there's some kind of a tie-in with the Netherlands. But it has to do with an educational course that you've been wanting to take and that you've been kind of weighing it up in the balance on whether you should take it or not, because it's going to have to take some time off what you're doing at this current time. You're going to have to book some time off, and you've been thinking, what am I going to do about provision during that time, and is it going to be worth it for me to take this? But I just see a vision right now in my mind's eye of the Lord taking you by his hand and walking you through the doors of the Institute of Learning, which speaks to me that the Lord is saying he will be with you in this if you choose to move forward.
That's so good. This is going to be so fun to hear the reports of this. I'm seeing a Monet or a Monette, and I'm not sure if she's in America or France. I couldn't tell. But you're struggling with cancer right now. You have some severe cancer, and you've gone through some medical treatments, but they're not giving you enough hope. And God is saying, you've believed in healing your whole life, but you've never had an experience of significant healing in your own body. And all the prayers you've sown into everybody else, God's sowing back into you because he's going to touch your body. And I pray everybody right now to be healed in Jesus' name. You're married, and you and your husband are believing in faith that the greater things are yet to come. And as a matter of fact, I feel like you've experienced a great loss, like a great financial loss. And then you got hit with like three or four things in a row, and this is the last thing. And you've almost given up hope in some ways. Like, it'd be better to go to heaven. And I'm telling you, it would not be better to go to heaven, because the greatest things God has for you are just around the corner. And heaven is wonderful. We want to go to heaven when it's time. And I speak over you, the timing of God over you. And I don't see his name, but it's our name. So, Lord, I pray over these two, that there would just be a release of healing. And why I'm saying that, I feel like there's someone else who's painted a white horse recently. When you've watched this webinar, you'll be like, that's me. You painted a white horse with swirls around it, and you're a newer painter. You're not like a very established painter. And God wants to give you hope that he loves your art, not just like a father who put it on a refrigerator, but he's going to commission some design through you. And there's a white horse, I think it's from the neck up, there's swirls around it. And your friend Kathy has told you that you're an amazing artist, but you haven't had faith. So God is having to tell you through a webinar that you're actually called to this. It's not just a talent, but it's something that's a little business hidden in it for another stream of income in your life.
I love it. Wow. I love it. I feel that there's many of you that are going to be experiencing financial breakthrough in this while. And what I was remembering is that in August and September of this year, just prior to Rosh Hashanah, the Lord was speaking to our team about El Shaddai, and that this was a year where the God of all plenty was going to make himself known to us in a new way, in a new dimension. And as a team, as a ministry, that we would embrace him in fullness. But El Shaddai is the God of plenty, the God of abundance, the God of fullness, the mighty breasted one who nurtures with you know, everything that you could possibly need. And I sense that there are many of you that are watching that you've been struggling in this last while, but the Lord says he is going to give to you the introduction of himself as El Shaddai in this new way where you will know his plenty. There is breakthrough for you in this year. I really believe that. And as a ministry, you know, I just want to share that we are behind you, especially all of you that are our partners, Web Church family, whatever. I pray all the time for our team and everyone associated with this ministry for just an abundance in the area, especially of provision, because I know God as a great provider, and I know he wants to be that for everyone. And so everyone in our sphere of influence, we always declare that blessing over them, because we just believe that that's who he is. And we see people grow and escalate, you know, people in our church, people in our partnership, you know, people on our staff, they increase in the grace of the Lord because we believe it. So I'm going to pray it over you right now. Just get ready. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just release your blessing over all who are watching, that you would reveal yourself to them as El Shaddai, the God of all plenty, the God of fullness, and that this year for them, Lord God, that they would experience a breakthrough in every area that they need. And there's someone that you've been weeping today, or you've been stirred inside with anxiety because of what you're going through in the area of provision. But the Lord says it's going to work out. If you take his hand and trust him, it will work out in Jesus' name. So I just bless all of you as our viewers with this wonderful outpouring of provision and love through El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Amen. Sean, could I ask you to do one more thing before we begin? That's release an impartation to all of our viewers and upon all of us at XP. I mean, I'm just like, you know, it says receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, right? I'm receiving everything that you're saying, everything that you represent. And if you could, you know, just pray for a blessing over us to enter in to this bigness of God with these beautiful words, these shock and awe words of God that reveal his love in these beautiful ways.
Absolutely, God. I just pray for this XP Media and everybody involved and everybody who's watching this. And Lord, we're so hungry for more. And I thank you that the little bit that's on my life is transferable, and we give it away. I give it away right now in the name of Jesus. You showed me that this would be a bridge. I would be a bridge to be able to demonstrate something that would, just the stories would help give people faith to do it themselves. So I release over you faith to get bank account numbers and information about people's lives and understand the secrets of their hearts and the conversations they had yesterday and the dreams they had 3 years ago and the school that they went to, Lord, that you would give us creative words of knowledge that would open what would take 10 conversations to build trust would open it like that. What would take 20 counseling sessions would open it like in a second. And Lord, I know you've already given a lot of even the XP Media team and other teams that are watching this ability to some degree. We pray that you'd raise the level up so much higher, God. Give us so much more. There's always a deeper place in you. So in this gift, we ask for the next dimension of it to be given and imparted right now. And I impart anything that I have. I impart the faith to take risks, God. And I pray that you'd break off any performance or having to be right. That it would be about love first, not about information. And that we would have so much fun and joy in partnering with you.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name,
amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And thank you so much for joining us on this webcast tonight. We prepare these for you because you are loved and because Father wants to bless you. We'll see you next time. And thank you again for your generous giving.